Hey everybody, it's your pal Hal. The holidays are here, and don't think that Mark and I don't have a gift for you. Please enjoy this edited recording of the We Got This Winter Spectacular, recorded December 10th, 2020, with our pal Padgett Brewster. We've edited out the music performances and are bringing you just the cold, hard holiday decisions that you crave. So please enjoy. Please have a happy and safe holiday, no matter what you celebrate. We'll be back next week with more winter hijinks from We Got This with Mark and Hal. Enjoy.
Hi, y'all. I'm Carter Parton Rogers. Welcome to the We Got This public domain winter spectacular with Mark and Hal. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here. We're gonna have some fun. This is what we know. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Oh, tinkle bells. Oh, everybody now sing along. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey! Oh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Yay! That was Jingle Bells. Welcome to the show, and now for an extra special surprise that y'all did not see coming. I'm going to be singing their podcast theme song that was written by and is usually performed by Mr. Mike Furman. All right, here we go. Get ready, y'all.
Podcast should have a theme song. Podcast should not have a theme song. Yes, they should. No, they shouldn't. They sound great. Yeah, but people are just going to skip past it.
You know what?
You're right!
Ouch!
We got this!
Yay! I'm amazing and so is this show! Y'all, please, put your hands together and welcome Mark and Hal!
Hi, everybody! Oh, Carter Parton Rogers.
Wow.
Hal, she's really spectacular. She's getting so much better.
She really, you can tell she's been
so
putting the
better.
Work in.
Yeah.
And
that's what it's about.
Paying off.
Yeah. It's, I love Carter Parton Rogers so much.
There's no other way to open the show than to have Carter Parton Rogers here.
All of our live spectaculars have always had, the wonderful Carter Parton Rogers.
She's a staple.
She is a staple. And you know what you're supposed to do during the holidays, Hal? First of all, happy holidays and happy first night of Hanukkah as it is now after dusk.
I'm so happy that I still have the shamash is still lit in the center.
That's the
there.
One in the middle?
That's the middle one, yeah.
Is that the only one that's lit right now? And you lit the other one? We light the
other
one during the show?
The other one is almost gone. You can sort of see it a little bit right there.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See? Just
I mean,
for the holidays.
They're little candles, so they diminish
very
pretty
fast.
Quickly. Yeah.
They're
right.
Gone like a cartoon character smoking a cigarette. They're gone almost immediately. They just
or a cartoon gone. Character leaving a smoke shape of them when they run out of a room. Yeah.
Yeah, that's you're supposed to light the menorah and then run as fast as you can through a wall.
Oh, so it's like the 4th of July, right? All holidays involve lighting something on fire and then running away from it.
That's right. That's our grand tradition as humans.
Well, our grand tradition as humans is also to spend the holidays with our nearest and dearest. And we hope you are doing the same, staying safely at home, enjoying our winter spectacular. We have brought a very dear friend of ours who we have worked with and known and loved for a very long time, who you know and love as a staple of the We Got This holiday season. She is the master of all debates, holiday related. So we had to have her back for our winter spectacular live show. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to Padgett Brewster and we will do the same. Hi, Padgett. Look at your fabulous flower.
Ooh.
I had to run 10 feet. You guys were so Christmassy, and I didn't have anything set up. I feel lame.
No, you're not lame at all. It's just please, please keep grabbing things throughout the show until you look like a Christmas tree by the end of it. I just balls and garlands and all kinds of things. You look lovely. Yeah. And like,
I can't. I guess this we is, have may some I say, musical interlude.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do what I can.
Melikalikimaka.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. And Hanukkah?
Yes, that's right. The first night is here. In fact, a lot of, you know,
k sounds.
There are a lot of,
it's a very plosive show.
A lot of sounds in this show. In fact, let's just jump right in.
Let's do it.
I have one.
We are settling debates. This is the first one.
These are all submitted by our listeners. Thank you for giving us more than we could ever hope for out of our Facebook group. Let's jump in with Stephanie Knuckles, who asks, for Hanukkah, do you give the best present the first night or the last night? Now, do either of you have some Hanukkah experience here?
Every year telling you happy Hanukkah when I see that it is Hanukkah.
That's it.
That's the extent of my involvement as well. Although I have several friends who are Jewish, so I say it a lot to a lot of people.
Sure.
But the gifting, I didn't.
Yeah, what did you do? What do you do, Hal?
The concept is you get a gift every night.
Mm-hmm.
The way we did it, you can give the big present right away. You can really put it anywhere in the running order. You can earn it in the middle there. You can sort of build up to it and then have a denouement. You can go big right away and then everything. Imagine you have 8 nights of presents and the first one you get the thing you wanted the most. And then the next 7 nights are a series of socks.
Okay.
Wouldn't you be so disappointed by that? Isn't it better to build up? If you're going to do a series of presents, you want to build to the big present, right?
I mean, I think as a goy, I assume like, that's what I mean. Like as a goy, I don't know. I've never experienced Hanukkah before, but as a human, the idea of everything building up to the final night being a thing, like the whole half the fun of Christmas is the anticipation. I assume that it's the same for Hanukkah, that the anticipation of that last night, though I do love the idea of do it on like day 5 and then 3 days of accessories for it, for whatever it was.
Well, here's the thing. Hanukkah is a minor holiday in the Jewish calendar.
Oh.
But because it's around the same time as Christmas, there's this thing of, well, it's got to be like, we don't want everybody to feel bad. We'll put the one dreidel song in the school recital and we'll put we have to put the happy Hanukkah and have the electric menorah out front. But it's not they're normally they were all small gifts, but we benefit the children now. The Jewish children around the world benefit from it being sort of riding the jet stream or slipstream of Christmas.
I guess I would put it. My guess is, aren't there some menorahs where the center candle is the highest?
It is. Yeah. Even in this one back here, they're all even, but it should be. It generally
I've
is the
taller
one. I've
seen them where. I would do it on the highest. I would do the big present at the highest candle height.
Well, you light that one every night. So that way you could get a big present every night.
Oh, then that would be first. Oh.
So that would be first. But if you're.
Oh, you light the one in the middle first?
Yeah, you use that one to light the rest. So then you keep. I mean, you have to have a new one every time because they go up, you know, like flash paper. But
it's different. It's different with birthdays. You don't just have the one that you use to light up the others.
Do you feel like every year you know what the best present is? Because aren't you usually surprised by sometimes a little present is the thing that people love the most? Like, are you sure you know what the big present is for the person receiving it?
I love that you said that. Maybe this says more about me than anything else. I've never thought that the small present was the best one.
I love that notion though, like the Christmas presents that yes, there's always like with Christmas, it was this way with us. Like there's one that's like, you know, when you're a kid, there's one present that's like the one. There's a few other, but for me, sometimes it would just be like a book that I would just get super, super into. And I wouldn't remember necessarily even what the big present was that year, but I remember the year that I got that book about clowning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I remember most
when my mom put a cassette tape of Adam and the Ants in my stocking. That was the best present for years.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that you remember.
Yeah. Did you feel like she knew, like she gets me because this was the gift that she left in the stocking? Is that what it was?
Yeah, because I was maybe 14 or 15, and it was so cool that she knew what cool music was. And, right. But she taught high school. So I'm sure she just asked her students. But to me, it was like, oh, she gets me. Yeah.
Hal, what's the best Christmas present you ever, Hanukkah present you ever got?
You telling me that somebody gave you a book on clowning?
It was a great book by Turk Pipkin. It's a great clowning book.
Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
First you wear those gloves. Then you tell me you got a clowning book. Then you tell
Dickensian
me it's by Turk
Street
Pipkin.
Urchin, baby. Yeah.
That's three nights of Hanukkah rolled into 15 minutes.
All right. But what night is it? We got to figure this out because we got a lot of topics to get to, guys.
I think you build to the big gift. And hey, if there's a great small one along the way, then all the better. We might remember the smaller gifts, but I think the experience of gift opening is you want to work your way up to the big one. You sort of save it for last. That's what I think.
I'm going to go right in the middle.
Oh,
right in the
middle day.
Middle day. I don't know. I think I have to, Padgett, I love you. I think I have to go with Hal on this one. I'm a fan of the buildup. I got to say that I think it's going to be the final day, but I like the idea of the middle day is great.
That's okay. Listen, you guys win this one.
the balance of power will shift several
times.
Suddenly
defiant.
Throughout the night, we'll all be ganging up on one another at different times.
I support you.
Well, I mean, she said through pursed lips.
No. Well, then it's the last night of Hanukkah, asked and answered.
Well done. And that's our first topic. Oh my God. Padgett, you look spectacular.
Oh my goodness.
It's like a holiday miracle.
It's like a Yeti.
Padgett, you look spectacular. Are you ready for another topic?
I'm ready.
All right. Q Ford here, who just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Q. Asks, birthday. Best bad behavior Christmas punishment, coal or bag and birch rod? The second of those I had never heard of, and it was horrifying to me. It's just, how do you want to explain it?
Yes. The look on your face, Padgett, means that you've never heard the expression bag and birch rod, which I hadn't either. I assume that it's related to the bell snickle, who is a guy in European mythology, dresses in heavy fur coats, walks around with a bag that has cookies and cakes and coins to give good children, and then a switch to beat the bad children. The idea being, I'm going to punish you, and then you have a chance to redeem yourself. But first, I'm going to hit you with a stick, child. I want you to know this. And it was me, this guy in a bunch of heavy furs, so that I look like a beastly human.
Ooh. This is fascinating. I love it. Can I answer already?
Please, go ahead.
Do you have one? What do you think?
Bag and stick. Children are not disciplined enough. I don't have to say anything more, Eddie.
No, you don't. Especially in that fur coat.
Bag and stick.
Children are just not disciplined nearly enough.
Not enough.
There it is. Please, thank you for bringing that in.
That's coal. Coal is actually a viable art supply.
Well, that's the thing. It's an art supply, and it's also, it keeps your house warm. Like my first thought would be, which would you rather have? Would you rather be beaten or warm? So my first thought goes to, I would choose coal. But I guess I'm thinking as the kid who, I'm thinking my mindset is the mindset of a bad kid. as opposed to the mindset is tired of bad children.
That choice sounds like a big dog t-shirt. Beaten or warm, I'm in it for the long haul. And then a dog on a motorcycle on the front or the back. You're eating that dog's dust. Sorry. Merry Christmas to you. I think you make a good point. Like, it's disappointing to get a lump of coal. If I were a child, I'd be terrified and be the best child ever if I knew that a stranger and wearing pelts was going to come beat me with a stick.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's way more incentivizing to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus the bag has treats in it.
It's the best in that it's the most effective, and that's asked and answered.
Asked and answered.
Agreement in that one.
Bag or birch rod. Yeah, look at that.
All right. Now, this one, I expect there to be lines drawn here. I think you're both going to have different answers. I'm interested to see. Anna Brecky asks, hot chocolate or mulled cider?
Cider.
Cider, 100% cider.
Really? I knew you would say cider, Padgett.
Booze and hot chocolate. I mean, I guess you have to add it.
Yeah, no, mulled cider, there's...
Is there always booze?
Not always. But, oh, have you been drinking mulled cider out of a crock pot for years, Hal? Not realizing that you were drinking alcohol?
I never even changed it. I just keep it there, lap it up like a dog.
I thought mulled cider had alcohol in it.
Yeah, I make it, it always does.
With mulled cider, you take spices and you put it in the cider, and then you have that and you can drink it. I think you can also add alcohol to it, and many people do.
Oh, but the mulling is the spicing, not the
mulling
boozing.
Spices.
They're mulling spices. Oh. Yeah, you put them in a bag in like those little silk satchels, like you get at Crabtree and Evelyn, and then you throw it in the pot with the cider and you heat it up, and it smells great. I'll make it.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna make it this weekend. Because I know how much Jennifer enjoys it. And I like the smell. It feels like autumn and it feels like the holidays.
Yeah.
But also, like, all right, if it's – which can have alcohol in it, I think mulled cider is way better. But if we took that out and we assume you could spike either one, mm-hmm. which one would be – if all of other things are equal, would you rather have a mulled cider or would you rather have a hot chocolate?
Yeah. I'm still mulled – I'm still team mulled cider.
Still mulled
cider. As am I.
Because not only do I enjoy the flavors of it, but the flavors and the smell of it are so evocative of a certain time of year. It's so sure. specific to exactly this moment. Whereas hot chocolate can happen in January, February, March, anytime you're a little chilly, sit down and have
and
some
keep
hot chocolate.
Going. April, May, June, July, yeah. August.
Sure, you can have hot chocolate any time of year. But to me, the most, the mulled cider is only for Christmas time. So that smell, not only does that smell make me think of Christmas, that smell makes me think specifically of boozy mulled cider at a Christmas party. So that's sort of just like a fun, festive feeling.
I gotta say, I'm shocked. I did not think I would be the lone hot chocolate person, but I accept that. I'm the only one. That's okay. I love chocolate. I'm just putting
you
it
said
out there.
Before,
big chocolate.
Hal,
I love you.
We were gonna be teaming up on one another this whole show.
The tide has turned.
I know.
Well, that's it. Asked and answered. It's mulled cider. Mark, what's next?
This one might take a minute. Corey Taylor asks, gifts wrapped or bagged? Padgett, you've got more style than either of us.
Oh,
please take this
now. It depends on how much time you have. Mm-hmm. If you just realize you've got to take something, you throw it in a bag and you tie a piece of ribbon around it. I have a drawer full of, you know what I like wrapping my presents in though? Tabloids, old tabloids.
You are amazing. Do you have, how old a tabloid are we talking?
I can go check in the next musical break.
Please do, because I'm so curious. Like
everything
who's gonna
changes
pop up.
So fast. Oh yeah, it's so things that people cared about even 6 months ago. I'm hoping I have something in there that's a few years old.
Oh, I want to I want to see an alarm clock wrapped in Lonnie Anderson wrapping paper.
Oh, I don't know exactly.
I don't know what this is,
bags?
But here's Gary Hart. I agree with you. Bags are. I personally, if I'm wrapping things, I would rather use a bag because I'm not a very skilled present wrapper and I don't care to learn. So I like to, you put it in the bag, you put the tissue paper on top. Even that looks kind of crinkly, but it's all about what's in it. It still makes the noise. If I'm opening a present, I like a wrapped gift. I like trying to guess from the shape of it what it is. I like to have it in my hands and then that joy of ripping. I don't do that. I don't very carefully take it because it's not getting used again. It's being destroyed.
It
and that's like, tear into it like the Tasmanian devil. That's what I love to do. So I think I would go with wrapped because even if the gift isn't wrapped well, even if I wrap it and it's not the best wrapping job, there's still the same satisfaction of taking it apart.
Well, what do you think wins? Is it the foolproof nature of a bagged gift in that it can always look expertly presentable? Or like, does that outweigh the specialness of the unboxing of a either personally or professionally wrapped thing? What do you guys think? Because I feel like
was
that's
the question, what do you like to receive or what do you like to do?
The question was no just gift wrapped or gifts bagged.
So gotta weigh them both.
Yeah. We have to weigh it as a receiver and as a giver. I think as a receiver, for me, it's obviously a wrapped thing. It feels more special and exciting. And it takes longer. I like that anticipation.
Yeah, if you took it all into account, Padgett, what do you think? What would your answer be? If you had to,
one
is always gonna be easier, right?
I like giving a wrapped, but receiving a bagged.
You like receiving a bagged.
Why is that?
Yeah, because then when you get all your other presents, you put them all in that bag.
So it seems like you are aiming more, like the lane that you are driving in is a pragmatic lane as far as gift wrap goes.
But I like wrapping for my friends and loved ones.
Oh, this is a tough one.
I'm going to go with wrapped. I'm going to commit to wrapping and say this year I will, when I order gifts for Jennifer, I will make sure somebody else has wrapped them by time they arrive. I will get them pre-wrapped.
Padgett, what do you think?
I guess I have to go with wrapped because that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm a wrapped person as well. I appreciate the ease of the bag, but I got to say wrapped as well. So wrapped, asked, and answered.
That's right. Did you hear that? There's a consensus. An angel just got its wings.
Hi, Padgett.
Hi.
Padgett.
I found July 25th. 2016.
This is
when Jenny Slate was going out with Chris Evans.
Oh,
I remember that.
Oh no, superhero homewrecker.
Question mark. 4 years ago though.
Unbelievable.
I love that that's what you use as wrapping paper.
Yeah,
How could it not be wrapping? How could that not be the answer?
Of course. You gotta use
Hal, are we ready for a cooking segment?
We're ready. We got to talk about food. And this I think is right up everybody's alley. Shelly Godafrin asks, Pizzelle, Pandoro, or Panettone? Now, for those of you who are not aware of what these are, Panettone is traditionally has fruit and a Pandoro is a yellow vanilla scented cake dusted with powdered sugar. And then Pizzelles, of course, are made sort of on like a waffle cookie. Iron. They're like a crisp, like waffle cookie. Generally, they're anise flavored.
I will say, I'm going to throw this out there. When we originally got this from Shelley, the question was Pizzelle or Panettone? And, I spoke to a wonderful Italian woman named Arianna who taught me, no, in Italy, the battle is not between Pizzelles, which are these. Italian.
Did you make those?
No, I didn't make these. I bought these, but you make them on a waffle iron. They're a bit, you know what they taste like? They taste like a waffle cone, but like a flat waffle cone. These I did not put powdered sugar on because I didn't want to get powdered sugar all over my desk. And the reason that Panettone and Pandoro are the ones duking it out because this is them. This is a Panettone for anyone who has never seen one. And this is a Pandoro. So they are very similar holiday treats. Am I the only one that's had all three of these?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you had any of the other? Have you?
Which of these have you ever had a Panettone, Padgett?
I have only had Panettone, and I do love giving it as a gift.
Yeah, it is.
You wrap it in the sun and then send it out.
Yes. I wrap it in Touch magazine.
I have to say, as an American, the Panettone is a wonderful Christmas gift. I love them. I get them every year. This little guy is like my third or fourth Panettone this year already.
Oh, it's so tiny.
They're little. I get the little ones and I think, well, I'm just going to eat a little bit of it. And now I just keep getting them.
They have some giant ones though. You can get ones
The big monsters. Big ones. And I've seen Panettone or Pandoro ones that are that giant thing, but also covered in chocolate and pistachios.
Sure.
So it feels like the difference between the best way I could say it is it's the difference between like challah bread with fruit in it and a giant cake donut would be the difference between those. Now, the Pizzelles, which are also on this list, I don't want to discount. because Pitzels for me growing up were what Christmas was all about. We had a Pitzel iron, and the recipe that we had for the batter made way too many Pitzels. So whoever was in charge of them was always standing by, because they're really little, was standing by that iron for the better part of an afternoon, just scooping little bits of Pitzel into an iron. And that's such a vivid Christmas memory for me.
Wow. I've only had Pitzels.
Really? You've never had a panettone?
No, I've seen it. And I'm interested to hear from Padgett, because famously, I think the first clean sleigh we did with you, you talked about how much you love fruitcake. We gave you a fruitcake. Is panettone, yes, is it in that family? Is it in that where you like it? Do you like it in that same way?
Yes, but it's lighter. It's lighter than a fruitcake, but it's an Italian version of a fruitcake, and it's great dipped in coffee, like an Italian, like a biscotti, but it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that dense.
Okay.
I like panettone. I think it's exciting and international and Christmassy and.
Yeah, if those are the adjectives that we're looking for.
Sounds like a commedia character.
It does. Yeah, you remember when Arlecchino went up against panettone?
Sure.
Yeah, and really got him his comeuppance. Sorry to interrupt. I was just agreeing with you, Padgett. I love panettone. I know that there are a lot of Team Pandoro versus Team Panettone, and adding the third element in of the pizzels, even while a big part of my family. Yeah, there's something magical about a panettone. And if we can't have Padgett Brewster on the show and not give a win to a fruitcake.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
It is a fruitcake.
Oh, I see. Not me.
Oh, no.
Okay. Got it. Yes.
So then it's panettone. I have no problem. They all look good to me. I'm sure I would enjoy a panettone. Maybe we'll get one this year. Maybe we'll get the full menu.
Get a Pandoro. Get a panettone and a Pandoro and try them both out.
Okay. I'll do
I'm
it.
Just saying.
But I'll know that the panettone is the best one, because that's been asked and answered.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you, Shelley.
What's next?
All right. Next up on the list, we have from Jenny Kerner. I love this one. Heat miser or snow miser? For those who don't know, the classic Rankin and Bass special, The Year Without a Santa Claus, this is the two characters duking it out. I'm too much. Padgett immediately started dancing.
Because Heat Miser is the best song of all of those movies. Can I sing it? Is it public domain?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun. I'm Mr. Oops, something else. I'm Mr. 101. This is a great, I forgot the third, what he was, but that's my, Heat Miser by far.
I feel like, Hal?
Yeah, the Cold Miser song is too slow, because he does like the, I'm Mr. Cold Miser. His is slower, right? Ooh. And Heat Miser's a little faster, right?
Well, they match. I know they match up at one point, so they're doing it in the same tempo, but yeah, his feels more like a, like old soft shoe kind of thing. And Heat Miser's is like down and dirty, and you know, there's flames and fire, and he's too much.
Yeah. Like the screaming Jay Hawkins of the weather in that movie.
Of the Rankin Bass world. There's gotta be a screaming Jay Hawkins.
There has to be. There's one in every single Rankin Bass. And you see if you can spot the I think it is the Heat Miser. It's more interesting.
Yeah.
It's already, you know, it's wintertime. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, Cold Miser. It's fine. Sorry you're not the best one.
Also, if it's the wintertime and it's Cold Miser, you know what people don't want? To be colder. You know what they want? Yeah. A little caliente.
That's a caliente. Wasn't that the missing lyric? I'm a little caliente.
I'm Mr. 101.
I said I'm Mr. Number One. I famously, Padgett, I don't know if you know that. I don't know if we ever talked about this. I don't know the lyrics to any song. I cannot remember them. I very rarely get them right. Like,
wow,
it's astounding. Our producer Ken Plume can tell you. We have many times spoken on the phone where he will try to – he will feed me the first half of a line, and I will know maybe a word and not the first one that comes after it. It's a lot of excuse me while I kiss this guy, like Jimi Hendrix stuff.
Yeah.
That's about where I come in. So –
I don't know if he actually says I'm Mr. 101.
So, I bet you he does. As far as I'm concerned, he does. That's
he might say I'm Mr. Number One.
Could be.
I think between the two of you, if Padgett recorded it and Hal recorded it, and we just laid them on top of each other, we would get half of the lyrics of that song.
Yes.
I think that's how it would work.
Yeah, you layer them together, and then you get the alien's message from contact, and you figure out.
Yeah, you guys are your very own Voyager record. All right.
We got Jordana Kane, who asks, plain eggnog or flavored, and then gives some context. We are partial to vanilla eggnog. Gingerbread eggnog is fun, but a little too sweet. Any other flavors? I think Jordana meant any other flavors available, but the question is phrased as, any other flavors available? We're already doing the favor of answering this for you. Jeez. Yeah.
We're settling your bargument. That's
Dianu.
A favor enough. With Padgett Brewster, for God's sake.
I've never had eggnog and I don't like it. And I'm just going to come out and say that. There's something about it. I don't trust it. It feels like it looks like, and it's just something shouldn't come out of that carton. And I don't, Padgett.
I have had eggnog and your assessment is correct. It's disgusting.
Thank you.
Flavoring it won't help it.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's like phlegm.
Oh no, this is the part where it's you two versus me. I knew this day would come. I knew that one day Hal and Padgett would turn on me. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge eggnog fan. I can't drink more than a little cup of it because it is like drinking heavy whipping cream.
Is it what you drink when you come home from your newspaper route with that outfit on?
Yes,
selling
Governor.
Apes on the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a penny a pape.
Yeah, did Fagan introduce you to eggnog?
In this life, one thing counts.
Does the flavoring, what's the base? The base flavor is sour cream that is turned, but then when you flavor it,
the thing that makes it taste like eggnog, that gives it that mm-hmm. sort of pungency, I think, in making it myself in the past is, it's, the sweetened condensed milk. That's what gives it that sort of malty flavor that I enjoy that clearly neither of you enjoy. Padgett, not even with like rum or brandy in it, just a little one.
I bought a carton at Gelson's a few years ago and, it just was gross. Maybe I need to try your eggnog, Mark. I don't know.
It's pretty good.
I believe you.
I feel bad for Jordana Kane, who was asking us for favors, and the favor we're giving her is none of the above is the answer.
Well, doesn't the default go to you because you enjoy eggnog? Don't you win the argument by naming what you like the most?
For sure.
Is that how I didn't take civics class. Is that how it works? It's the 100%. Person who's had the most eggnog decides the votes.
Parliamentary procedure.
Parliament procedural vote. I'll take it. So plain eggnog, I will say. I enjoy the flavor of plain eggnog. It tastes like Christmas. Flavored eggnog is, I think, putting a hat on a hat. You know what I mean? The eggnog is already enough of a lovely hat.
All right.
So asked and answered by yours truly. It's plain eggnog. Is this, for those who don't know, Padgett is the queen of all costumes. Everybody knows that. You are. This is a lovely plaid pattern. What is this? A robe? Is this a?
This is a big tartan.
Oh.
I added a zipper to it. There's a little cleavage under it.
Oh, hello. So how many of your clothes do you usually alter? Like adding a zipper to, you're like, oh, I like this pattern, but this used to be a blanket. You know what? Here's a zipper. Now it's a dress.
I took this to a professional tailor, but before March 12th, before my husband and I locked ourselves into this home, I would alter a lot of things because I buy a lot of things on eBay. So I'll buy them big and then have them tailored. Sadly, when I've tried to make suits, like 40 suits that used to fit me, fit now that I'm older and wider, I add like pregnancy panel stretch fabric and it's awful.
Yeah. I think it's pronounced
uncomfortable or just the idea of doing it.
No, I'm wider and wiser.
There you go.
No, I messed up a couple of really nice suits by trying to do it at home. So you really have to pick your battles.
Do you then take it to your tailor who gives you a disdainful face like, why didn't you just come to me in the first place, Padgett?
I'm too embarrassed. No. I'm too embarrassed. Aww. I give them to Goodwill.
There you go. And then someone new can enjoy them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, someone – someone in their 20s who should be wearing a suit from the 40s and a size 4. They can just sew it together.
Sew two size 2 together, then you got a size 4, right? I don't know how sewing works.
Sure.
All right. Our next topic comes from Andrea Callahan, and this is a decorating topic for your holiday decorations. What is the best place to hang your stockings? The fireplace mantle or on the wall? The stockings were hung by the chimney with care. Is what
but it
comes
could be on the
mind.
Wall by the chimney. They could have been hung outside of the house.
Yeah.
By the chimney.
But on the chimney on the exterior. But I don't know if you don't have I feel like the wall is you only put them on the wall if you don't have a chimney.
So wait, does that mean that Andrea is asking, is it okay because I don't have a fireplace that I just put them on the wall?
That answer, I mean, that is obviously a yes, right?
I don't, where were your stockings? Yeah, it's okay to put it on the web. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it. But if you have the choice, like where were your stockings when you were a child, Padgett? Where were they hung?
In front of the fireplace, like above the fireplace, you know, off
with those
the
weighted
mantle.
Hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't remember. My mom did it. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't have a mantle. We have a fireplace, but no mantle, but it's just the two of us. We don't hang stockings.
Hmm. But if you did, if you decided
fireplace.
We're going to hang stockings, mm-hmm. You just put them on the wall above, right?
But it would be technically be above the fireplace. But if you don't have a fireplace, I don't want to shame people who don't have a fireplace.
Yeah.
They can hang their stockings wherever they want.
There's a universality to to saying that the wall is but the question is best place, I would say, is the fireplace mantle, but the wall is a perfectly reasonable. Kids out there, Santa will find your stocking if it's on the wall. If you have a fireplace, but you don't have a mantle, don't worry. Santa will still get you. Santa will still be able to find your stocking. So yeah, if you don't have a fireplace mantle, a wall is fine. But the question is best place to hang it. And I think.
Yeah.
For that, we have to say it's the fireplace mantle. That's the traditional look. I have in the past done my TV fireplace and just draped a stocking over that.
Sure.
That's cute. That's
great.
It's,
yeah.
Yeah. I love, look, there's 10 hours worth on YouTube. It's wonderful.
I've done it before. I've done it if we're just sitting in the living room and having dinner, which is all the living room. It's all the same room, but you know, we'll put something on. It'll be like a relaxing by the fireplace, put a little music on. That's nice. It sets the mood. I would put,
this is great. Let's watch TV. Oh wait, we can't watch TV. The TV's on the fireplace
and there's stockings all over it.
Yeah. Can you do picture in picture and have just like a little picture in picture of a fireplace while you're watching a movie?
Yeah. That's, you put it at the bottom.
Yeah. You put it at the bottom on the side and then you're watching me like, this movie's great.
It's like we're taking a commercial break from the fireplace to show you an episode of Gossip Girl. That's all. So I think the answer here is you should hang – if you have the ability to hang them over the fireplace mantle, then that's where they go.
Yeah.
They're hung by the chimney with care. That means basically they're hung on that little shelf that sticks out of the chimney.
Yeah.
Happy to clear that up for you. It's asked and answered.
Welcome.
We've done you a real favor here today.
That's right.
Kama Lord asks, all right, for cards, for holiday greeting cards, do you do a single sheet photo card or is it better to do a bifold? And I have to say, I get some holiday cards and this year I got one from a coworker and I really appreciate, it was really nice. Because normally you see these people more often in person, so you get to catch up with them. But now the full story that's on the card of everything that went on this year kind of had more impact. So I liked personally opening up the gatefold. I like that.
Mm. Padgett, do you guys send out Christmas cards?
No. And I think we've finally fallen off everyone's list because we've never sent them. And usually we receive several.
Yeah.
And none this year.
Are you okay with that?
I'm now very sad realizing that in this conversation that we haven't gotten any Christmas cards.
Oh, no.
So
I haven't gotten any yet this year either.
It's early. It's early yet. It is early yet.
It's still only December 10th. It's barely after Pearl Harbor Day. They don't usually start coming until later.
That's what they say. Send your cards after Pearl Harbor Day. Yeah, that's the normal.
It's like you don't wear white pants after Labor Day, and you always send your holiday cards after Pearl Harbor Day.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've never given them.
Do you send one out?
I don't send one out. No. I was just like, hey, here's my apartment. I don't send one out, but I do like to receive them. And there are two different ways. Like, I want to err on the side of this one, like, of focusing on the longevity of the card rather than the in the moment. Cause in the moment, I do enjoy a bifold card that has lots of information on the inside, but longevity wise, a single photo postcard, I will replace on my fridge last year's Christmas cards that I got from friends, this year's Christmas cards that I got from friends. Cause it's just like, hey, here's a picture of all my friends. So I like the single card as a thing that I can just put up on my fridge. And then I have like a wall of photos of people that I care about. Did you guys ever do the blinds trick with Christmas cards? So I have these flat blinds behind me, like the flat blinds. And on Christmas, we used to always, as an adult, a friend of mine started doing this and I thought it was brilliant. So I started doing it, just taking the cards and slipping them on, just hanging them from the blinds. So you have one window that's just all Christmas cards. If you keep the blinds twisted shut on it, so they're in that position, then you just drop Christmas cards over it. Anyway, it's a fun little
great idea.
Ridiculous decoration. Yeah. It's fun.
That's very crafty. So look, there's a convenience to the single, shaded. They're easier to get. Now you can order them online. You get your picture. Mm-hmm. You send it up. You upload all the addresses. They get sent out. You're all good. Those are nice to receive. I like to see everybody. It feels good to be thought of. There is something special though. I think about that gatefold card. I like when there's something written inside, even if it's just a quick personalized sentence. I think that carries a little bit more. That gives it extra meaning. I'm not talking poorly about the single sheet photo card.
Mm-hmm.
I like the bifold.
I think the photo, the photo works for me just because the gate card, which I never knew it was called that, usually has a letter inside of it from my, aunts and friends and even friends I haven't seen in a long time. And it is a long detailed, explanation of what they did during the year. And I didn't even send a photo. So a photo, I feel less guilty about not responding to.
I'm team Paget on this one 100%.
Thank you.
I'm fine with that. I'll take it. It's
there's less homework guilt involved.
So you get that card and it shows up and you're like,
oh,
let me get my quill and a scroll.
Here we go.
Send it via Raven. All right. Fine. It's single sheet photo. Asked and answered. They're easy to get. Then do it this year. I'm not saying that we are, but I'm not saying we're not. We have a picture we took years ago just for a holiday card that we never sent out. You're all welcome. That you didn't receive.
Do you guys, let me ask another quick one.
Go ahead.
Just in the same vein, paper or digital?
What do you mean?
Oh, as like far as the Christmas card goes. Did you ever just send out in years past when I did send out one, we just got lazy. We were like, you know what? It's going to be a JPEG. Send out the JPEG. I like the JPEG.
Like in emails?
Yeah, you can just because email Christmas card, you can just blast everybody with one usually amusingly photoshopped picture.
Yeah. Forward, 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 forward. Merry Christmas. And then a picture. And then everybody's email address is on it by mistake.
Yeah, I never BCC anybody because we're all friends here, for God's sake.
And here's a funny toilet gif. At the bottom, I use it in my signature. I think I would rather have – I like the physical one. The digital one I'll keep longer.
Yeah.
But the physical one is, I don't know, it's nice to have something in your hands.
I like the physical one.
Physical.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to ask, Leah Hagen asks, are socks a bad Christmas gift to give or get? And I would say unequivocally not. Some of my favorite pairs of socks. I love fun, flashy socks and like toasty ones for winter. They are a wonderful Christmas gift to get. What do y'all think? That's my thought.
I concur. I still have a pair of socks my dad gave me with cats on it from 15 years ago.
Really?
Socks are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them.
Love them. Yeah. I appreciate them even more as I've gotten older. I appreciate things that cover my feet.
What?
No, nothing.
You are in just increasingly more spectacular every time I see you. Apropos of nothing. But more spectacular every time I see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was great.
Isn't he amazing?
So good. You know, right. We got another one. This is a big one.
Okay.
Uh-oh. This is a real big one. We're not shying away. This may be a clean slate where we're doing smaller topics, but doesn't mean we're going to avoid big issues. And Brian Lance has brought us a very big issue, which is ham or turkey for Christmas. Because it's a Christmas ham.
Yeah.
There's a fatted goose. But people have turkey a lot of times.
What do you usually do, Padgett?
Well, actually, we do Thanksgiving several times a year. I love making Thanksgiving, so I would never serve turkey on Christmas. But my husband's not crazy about ham. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I tried a goose once, and it was a big mistake.
Goose is tough.
It's yeah. gamey, isn't it?
I've
it's
done duck.
It's tough.
But
it's,
Yeah. I guess I have to go with, in general, for the world, Christmas ham. Because turkey is so synonymous with Thanksgiving. So I'll answer on behalf of the world.
That's our whole job. I'm totally with you on that. I think Thanksgiving is for turkey and Christmas is for ham. Though in a lot of movies, they bring out the turkey and that's some bird. They bring out some bird. Can I go back to something, though, that you said a second ago, Padgett? Mm-hmm. How many times a year do you cook Thanksgiving dinner?
At least four.
This is fascinating and wonderful. Like, when do you do it? You just kind of, like, in the middle of summer, you're like, you know what sounds good? Yeah. Like, turkey and stuffing and cranberry sauce, and we're going to have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you feel it out. You know when it's coming. But also, my husband and I love Thanksgiving so much, we got married on Thanksgiving 6 years ago or something. We love Thanksgiving. So I just know that at a certain point, it's like, oh, it's Thanksgiving time.
You just know, regardless of what month it is, you know, it's time to give thanks.
Yeah. It's not a specific day. It's when you know it's time to give thanks again.
What makes you know?
Yeah.
Magic, the magic of being thankful, the magic of being a Mayflower descendant. I don't know.
Are you a Mayflower descendant?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, so it's in your blood.
Elder William Brewster came over on the Mayflower and was one of the five families that survived the first winter.
No kidding. So Thanksgiving is in your blood.
Yes, and I hope it's not as terrible as some people say it was. I don't believe my family massacred any Native Americans shortly after Thanksgiving. Well, there are a lot of people who say Thanksgiving is actually wrong.
Right.
Historically. And honestly, that could be true. I don't know. Yeah. I think what it's become for most Americans is genuinely a time for family and giving thanks and caring for and about each other. So that's what we choose to celebrate. And we do it several times a year because we feel, knock wood, now something terrible is going to happen. We feel thankful and lucky a lot. Now, look what you did.
I know.
Good job.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that at the end because I was going to ask, like, is the reason for celebrating Thanksgiving multiple times a year the gratitude or the hunger for turkey and stuffing?
Oh,
and
it's
sweet
both.
Potatoes?
It's even. Yeah. It's even, Steven. It's both.
What's your top Thanksgiving side?
You know
that
what?
You make the one that you, of the ones you make personally.
Well, a homemade gravy, turkey breast. I have yet to make a green bean casserole I will eat the next day. It is a failure that has haunted me. I want to say 25 years I've failed. I've done everything I can. I've tried it every way. It's never good. Guys, where are you on?
I'll give you a trick that my mom uses for the green bean casserole if it helps.
Please.
She uses, instead of the can of condensed cream of mushroom soup. She uses the can of condensed cream of cheddar soup, which basically ballpark nacho cheese.
Yeah.
It is absolutely delicious.
Can I show you both what's in my freezer right now?
Yes.
That's the part of the show. I mean, it's on the running order. That's what this segment says. I thought he was going to take us with him.
What do you make? No. What do you make? You're a fabulous cook, Gags. What do you make?
Oh, thanks. So are you. I make my favorite thing that I personally make is I have gotten my cranberry sauce recipe from scratch straight down. And it is, I think it's the best cranberry sauce out there.
Now,
you know what the key is? I would love you to send that to me.
I will. Little bit of fresh mint right at the end as you serve it on top.
Nice.
We've already ruled that it's ham. Asked.
Yes.
It is ham. And asked and answered.
But this thing is getting made for Christmas. It's getting
made. Look at
that
beauty.
Look at this. Wow. It's a nice 10 pounder.
Look at that shrink wrap too.
All I have to do is I thaw it out for like three days. Then I put a little avocado oil on the skin. Mm-hmm. When it goes in, it comes out nice and crisp. Perfect.
That's the most California I've ever heard.
Now for the dressing, I roast a whole chicken. There's a chicken, mm-hmm. There's a whole, like almost a whole chicken in the dressing. So I used for this Thanksgiving, I used the leftover from the roasting of the chicken to make a chicken gravy that we had with everything.
Ooh.
And it was great. I threw
Can
it
I
in.
Pitch yes. In? Oh, sorry.
What is dressing? What do you mean dressing?
Dressing and stuffing are the same thing.
It's like stuffing, but
they are?
You cook it outside of the bird.
Yeah. It's like
this thing is hurting my leg. I'm putting it back.
There you go. Do you stuff the bird or do you do the stuffing?
No, never. And I honestly, stovetop turkey or chicken stuffing is the best. 5 minutes in boiling water, leave it aside. You pour it in the boiling water and you put it aside and then you spread it on a sheet pan and you can put in sausage, jalapenos, soaked. And then you put it in the oven and you just want to take maybe 15% of the moisture out, but don't burn it. But stovetop stuffing is the best.
But you do it broiler or you do oven or you do broiler?
Broiler.
Okay. All right. I'm down. Let's do that. Guys, let me know when your next Thanksgiving is. I'll do it here as well and we'll Zoom time on it.
Yeah. I would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds good.
This is very exciting.
Oh, goodness.
All right. We have another question that I would like to jump on now. This is from Jandro Gamboa, and this is best. Look, everyone this year has COVID as the excuse, obviously. But aside from COVID, what's the
best? I thought
best
you were going to stop at everybody this year has COVID. I was like, Mark, they jumped. Yeah,
well, everybody has it. Everybody this year has COVID as an excuse. But barring this year, what's the best excuse for skipping out on family holiday gatherings? Oh. I don't know what's going on in the Gamboa family where Jandro is like,
the Gamboa
guys,
family,
I'm not
they're
doing
getting ready. They're going to have such a Christmas like you never saw the Gamboa family.
I have the answer to this. It's you didn't love me enough, and that's it. And then they will not. Not only do you
You're
not
putting
have to
it
go,
on them,
but for the rest of the year, they're going to try to make it up to you.
Oh,
you're welcome. Ooh. Look, will it damage the family? Probably. But do you want to get stuff? Sometimes there's a give and a take. There's a give and a take there. You have to decide. That's a line you have to cross. No, what's a real good excuse? I would never say that.
I mean, that feels a little alienating.
That. Yeah, probably bad. Don't do that. Sorry. Bad advice. That's on me.
I don't know. I don't like to skip out on family holiday gatherings. I enjoy going to them and doing them. Paget, what are your thoughts?
Oh, we've gotten out of holidays successfully for years just by saying flights are too expensive and there are too many mm-hmm. people in the airport. So what we do is, and this is another reason maybe why we have Thanksgiving at other times of the year, instead of traveling during Thanksgiving or Christmas, my family and my husband's family, we all concur. Let's meet at another time with cheaper airfares and fewer people in the airports pre-COVID. And we'll still continue this after COVID has subsided. It's easier to go at another time of the year and there's none of that holiday tension and pressure. And you're just going because you love each other and you want to see each other and spend time together.
I love that. I've done that too.
Do you settle on a neutral location that is also the cheapest? Like if we all fly to the Quad Cities airport at the Iowa-Illinois border, we can hang out in both Moline, East Moline, Davenport, and Bettendorf and have four Thanksgivings in a row.
Did you just know all four of the Quad Cities?
Dude, I've been to the Quad Cities for a wedding. I went for a wedding.
I didn't know mutually.
And they got married in four cities?
They got married, I think, in Davenport, and then Bettendorf is where the reception was. But it was lovely. It was a real, like, it's, you know, Midwest.
Yeah.
Suburban slash rural. Like, it has, like, a little bit of each. That's lovely there.
All right.
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't probably gather the family there. There's not as much to do unless you like riverboat gambling. And turns out,
What about barges pulled by mules or horses? I like that. Where's that? I went to one wedding. I don't remember.
You went
where
to a wedding where aren't barges on water?
Yeah, the barge is on the water, and there are tow paths on either side of the canal, and horses or mules pull the barge very slowly, and you can have a little four-piece band. That was one of the best weddings I ever went to, and I don't remember where it was.
Oh, you time traveled to Mark Twain's wedding, I think is what happened.
Yes.
Yes.
That Connecticut kid the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court is based on real time travel principles. And Paget was able to read from the book, figure out how to do it, and then go to his mule drawn barge wedding.
Oh my God.
That also feels like something, I can't remember the band. Mumford and Sons, when they got married, that they were on a giant barge pulled by mules. That feels like a very Mumford
and
Sons.
That might be
wedding.
In one of these old tabloids I have.
Yeah.
Mumford and Sons wedding.
Wedding on a barge.
Barging in on love.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Let's go. Let's check out. Oh, that one is asked and answered. And I think that's absolutely the most correct thing is, we've done it too. Flights are too expensive. Let's do it another time. And then we do that too. We usually do
still happening.
Thanksgiving and Christmas is usually when my family does it.
Yeah.
And then it can still happen and everybody's a little more relaxed about things. 100%. Thanksmas. Family Thanksmas.
Aww. All right.
Asked and answered. Thank you, Padgett.
Oh, this is such a gift.
You really are.
You told me you wanted me to look like a Christmas tree. At the
you
end.
Do. And I know really. Everything about this is wonderful. And
we're so,
happy.
We're so close.
We're so close. We're so close. You only got two more songs. Yeah, speaking of Christmas trees.
Speaking
ahead,
of Christmas trees, this is such a great segue. Don't ruin it, Mark. Timothy Bally asks, under the Christmas tree, should you have a train or shouldn't you have a train under the Christmas tree? And let me give a little background before I give my opinion. I'm gonna come in hot.
Okay.
On Amazon Prime, I don't know what kind of deal they have in their video division where they have snapped up everything that never made it to air and never sold anywhere, has found a home on Amazon Prime, including a televised special from what I could only imagine is Quad Cities Area Public Access Television, that is a tour of people's Christmas trains. So these people have created entire rooms of their house that are villages with Christmas trains in them. And when I see that, there's one thing that goes through my head. Since I was a child, there's nothing I've wanted more than a room that is a model train village. And they're living my dream. And they also, I realize maybe it's not my dream because I don't care to know anything about the technical aspects or how to put it together. I just want it to appear and then be able to make the trains go. So if you can put a train under your tree, then you should put a train under your tree, right? Do either of you have trains under your trees?
I currently have a little train under my tree.
Oh,
it's just, but it's a little.
Is it running?
No, it's not running. You know what it is? It's not an electric train. It's the train made out of the current McDonald's Happy Meal toys of Disney characters in the assorted ride cars from Disneyland. And it's
Did
a train made
all?
Out of that. No, I only got Mickey. Or no, I didn't get Mickey. I got four of the big five. I didn't get Mickey yet. Okay. But train-wise, I grew up – my dad is a big aficionado of trains. We always grew up with LBG, the German train company. That they're kind of like this, like an engine's about like that. And we actually had a room in our basement that was the train room that had like the houses. And my dad had set up like the platform where he had built, you know, like paper mache mountains. And
yes.
Yeah. And it was one of these things. It was like having a room sized toy in my house as a kid that I was
not allowed to touch,
breathe on. It was my dad's toy, but I've always loved trains. There's a model train store not far from here for those in Los Angeles. That's really fun. Train Craft or something like that. It's right across from, right across from the new miniature Target in West Burbank. Padgett, what's your train experience at Christmas time?
I have no experience with trains. My family never had trains under the tree or anything, but there used to be a show called Monster House, where people would reach out to the production team and say, I want this done on my house. And I reached out to them and I asked them if they could turn my attic here into the attic from Beetlejuice, but with a train set going through. And I sent them the specs on the house and they said, you're not famous enough and it's too expensive. So that was the end of my train dream.
I'm sorry.
That sounds weird.
You know what?
Would you have done the actual platform and same locations, or would you have been like, this is my neighborhood and built a neighborhood from scratch?
Oh, I just wanted them to put in flooring and fairy lights and whatever train configuration they felt like. I was like, it could go along the edges. It could be like Beetlejuice, like a little, you know, town. Any town you want. I wanted to give them any opportunity to hire any craftspeople that they wanted because I was trying to get floors and a magical attic. But it didn't work out.
You know what though? Aww. I think it came out ahead because think of all the people who were on Monster House, which I watched every single episode of, who now have like a house that's also a Frankenstein that at some point they got tired of and wanted to sell. Like, you'll love this house. The toilet is shaped like the Wolfman. And it's like you're sitting in his lap. Don't you want to go to the bathroom? Why? Come back. Yeah. We'll take a cash offer. Under market.
I'm confused. I don't know Monster House. Was it always something from a horror movie that was added to your house?
No.
No, it was just like turn my backyard into a tiki, like a Hawaiian vacation palace, or make my bedroom look like a cave. A caveman bedroom.
Now I have to watch this show. Except I don't want to watch this show because they were mean to my friend.
Yeah.
No. I understood it wasn't worth their. I get it. And then what would that be like having an actual show shoot in your house and like traveling up? They'd have to build stairs too. To be fair, there are no stairs to the attic. So I was asking a lot.
How do you get to the attic? Is it one of those, like, the thing you pull down and then it flips?
You pull the ladder down. Yeah, and it's rickety, and you go up there, and you take out the raccoon poop, and you spray the corners where you can see sunlight coming through. There's a lot of spiders. Nobody wanted to go up there.
Yeah, that's
it
fair.
Was a ridiculous ask.
I do like those doors,
it was already kind of like Beetlejuice. It was frightening.
Yeah. I like those doors because it makes it feel like your house has a secret. Like if you just pull on, there's like a rope dangling there that if you pull on this rope, suddenly stairs appear and there's a whole other part of your house. Like that's
exciting. A ladder. It's like an aluminum ladder. And the surprise up there is that raccoons get in there and poop.
I like the anticipation more than the surprise, which is why you should get your best present on the eighth day of Hanukkah. Let's ask another question. Sarah Larson.
Train under the tree. Asked an answer.
Train under the tree.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
I think it's great. Do it.
Please.
Train under the tree. Sorry, I forgot to do the asked and answered part. I got so excited about Padgett's Beetlejuice balcony or attic. All right. Sarah Larson wants to know instrumental Christmas music or a cappella Christmas music. So I wonder, does that mean like, I guess we're eliminating music that has, this is a fun question. Cause anything that has the music and lyrics, anything that has both music and vocals, not counting in this. We're going Mannheim Steamroller versus my high school madrigal choir.
Well, like, yeah.
And
like,
pentatonics.
Like God rest ye merry gentlemen, which could have been the song performed in this very show because it is in the public domain. You have the Mannheim Steamroller version, which is in Home Alone when he's getting the house ready. But then you have all the God rest ye merry gentlemen. Wherever ye may roam. I know those aren't the words. Don't even start.
Look, you're great at lyrics.
I'm really good. Famously great at lyrics. I think I'd rather hear the words. I think I like the words. Words. Give me some.
Yeah,
words.
I mean, that makes sense. Cause like, a lot of the Christmas music is about the words. Though those Mannheim Steamroller tunes are like somebody who's set their whole exterior of their house to a Mannheim Steamroller song. It's like
Monster House. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, like, you know what I want at Christmas time? I want to drive through the cool neighborhood and I want some Norwegian metal playing Christmas tunes as the house is just going like crazy all over the place.
Yeah, I want my favorite Christmas songs to be punished, like Sisyphus, this hard-driving music that they have to force this rock music up a hill, only to know it's going to fall down over the course of the year and you're going to have to do it again.
That's fair. Padgett, what do you think?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that instrumental only would end up on a Muzak playlist, and I don't want that. So I'm going to go with choral, a cappella, the voices, the human, the human voice.
Yeah.
It is a cappella, like the pentatonics.
Yeah. That's a cappella is no music. Yeah. Pentatonics is the big one, but also
I got caught up in just words or no words.
You know what is a cappella? You know what else is a cappella Christmas music?
What
is
what
else carolers. Is acapella Christmas?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Carolers are acapella Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
And I even dressed like a caroler tonight, a Dickensian caroler.
Yes.
For this very reason. Nothing snarky, Hal?
No, I don't, you know what? I don't want to get you upset so you fall over and knock down the barrel full of fire that's probably right behind you. So it's acapella asked and answered, right?
It's acapella asked and answered.
Well, I got another one from Andrea Callahan. Andrea's back, everybody. That's right.
Yeah.
Do you clean up while presents are being opened with a designated trash bag, or do you let the mess happen and just clean it up when it's all over? Like, do you clean behind yourself as you go?
Padgett, you're making a face.
Padgett, you got
an answer.
You look
guilty of something.
I clean as I go, but that doesn't sound very festive or passionate or sexy or interesting. So I wish I could lie and say, just let it lay there, baby. We'll deal with it later, but I clean as I go and I save the paper if it's good paper and I save all the ribbons.
What do you
Padgett,
do?
I do everything that you, but I have no, what's that?
Is that what you do with
Gags
the
does everything I do.
I do everything you do. I except I have no guilt about it. I am, if it's nice paper and I've managed to keep it intact, I will fold it up and set it aside. What if you if there's a little present, what if you accidentally throw a little present away in this giant mess? No, you put a trash bag in the, you put a trash bag in the middle of the room. And as you're opening presents, you enjoy each present. You put the trash in the bag in the middle.
Yeah.
But what tiny present are you afraid? Like a diamond ring or?
Yeah, I know.
What are you thinking?
Your pearl earrings. You're afraid you'll throw them in the trash.
Yeah.
What are you afraid?
That microchip you got yourself.
Yeah, I saved up for that microchip for a long time.
In that outfit,
in retrospect,
like
I should have. What?
In that outfit, it looks like you're afraid you'll throw away tuppence.
Hal, what do you think?
What do you
look,
do?
Yeah, what do you think? Are you a tear into it?
Oh no. Well, I'm tear into it, but then as I see the paper everywhere, I start to get antsy and I'd rather have it cleaned up and put away because that becomes the thing I think about, which I inherited from my mother. That's a very honest trait. But I knew for you, Mark, you clean behind yourself like 100%. You're not leaving a mess.
No.
That's not
there are plenty of things at Christmas time that are sexy. The paper on the floor doesn't have
are
to
there?
Be. I know it's
not
a
lot of sexy things.
There's sexy things at Christmas time. Sure, cuddling up by the fire. You got a mug of cider, eggnog, hot cocoa, whatever.
Industrial snot.
Industrial snot. Yeah. You're dancing with a dame you like at the holiday Christmas party. There's a lot of sexy things about the holidays, but a big pile of trash in the middle of the room is not one of them.
True.
Yeah. Asked and answered. Clean up
asked
behind
and
yourself.
Answered. Yes. Padgett, you look like Columbia lighting the world.
Oh, thank you.
It's this is remarkable. All right, let's go with another question. This one we have from Kathleen Cashman. Kathleen wants to know, what's the best holiday candle scent?
Cookies
is a great one. So what are the big ones? I think there's cookies. There's like cinnamon, like spicy cinnamon spice. The pine two tree. Behind me that are going are both pine tree, are both Christmas tree scented, which is my personal favorite. But to some, I realize can smell like Pine Sol.
Peppermint.
But peppermint's a great one. I don't know.
What about isn't it? I like there's like a one that smells like a fire, like a wood smoke.
Oh yeah.
That has like a wooden wick. Someone gave it to me as a present. I don't have it anymore. Mm. I burned through it. It was great, though. I didn't know the pine ones smelled like Pine Sol.
Well, they don't smell like Pine Sol, but I can see how some would not be. I have two pine-scented candles. I have pine-scented air spray. It's my jam. I love it at Christmas time. I want everything to smell like a Christmas tree because I use a fake Christmas tree. So I want it to smell like a real Christmas tree in here. Right. That said, I could see how it might be overpowering.
Yeah, they're strong. There's no like faint pine smell.
Yeah.
It's the Mannheim steamroller of smells.
It's Norwegian death metal candles.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I did get the pine scented citrus magic, you know, that plastic thing with the vents on it. I'm sure it's toxic. And you peel the plastic off and it's great. It smells fabulous.
Look, pine is my jam. I felt like I was preemptively for if anyone was like, no, it smells like Pine Sol. I was conceding that part of it. I'm 100% in favor of Pine Sol being the best candle scent, but
just Pine Sol. Just throw Pine Sol on your couch.
You know what I mean? But I do also love those like cinnamon Christmas spice ones. And I love the ones that smell like cookies. But then does it promise cookies that never show up?
I mean, if you don't make the cookies, or does it motivate you to make the cookies? Because you realize this smells so good. I don't need this candle, or this candle has inspired me to go back. I'm looking over where I would be baking cookies. That's why nobody has any reference for where I'm looking.
We know you went over there. We know that's where the kitchen is. We hope it's where the kitchen is because where you took out a frozen turkey from.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If that's the garage, there's something wrong.
I keep turkeys all
like
over the
pine.
Place.
I like pine.
I read an article in Psychology Today, which actually I would love to get that magazine again. I don't even know if it still exists, that said people who smell like pine are considered to be smarter than people that smell like other things. And so I've had a lot of pine things yearly, like year round, because I want people to think I smell smart.
That smart fellas.
That nugget was a delightful surprise in the middle of this question.
Yeah.
I believe it though.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's backed
then
by
for that reason
backed
alone,
by,
yeah. Let's go
it's
with
backed
pine.
By science. The science doesn't lie. It says
your home
pine
will smell
is the best
smarter.
Scent. Yeah.
You smell smarter if you smell like pine.
Yeah. Two smart homes. They both felt smart.
Asked and answered.
Yeah.
All right. We got time for maybe two more, right?
We could do it.
We can do it.
And then we'll start to say our goodbyes. We don't want to do that. We wish we could be here all night with you, but we got to sleep. At a certain point, it's got to
be
not yet. First, we got to answer this one from Q, who is returning to ask hot toddy or hot buttered rum. Are they not the same thing? I did not know. I've never had either.
They are not the same thing.
No.
Ooh.
They're both boozy hot drinks. But I think the best boozy hot drink we already determined before.
The cider?
Malt cider.
Well, but neither of these can exist without the booze, though. I like a hot toddy, and I like a hot toddy when I'm sick at any point during the year. And a hot toddy is lemon juice, like squeezed lemon, hot water, brandy or cognac, I believe. And hot buttered rum is butter, hot water, rum, and sugar. Sorry, there's sugar in the hot toddy as well.
Okay. So they're both
hot
alcohol.
Hot water, a little bit of sugar, and butter and rum or lemon and brandy or whiskey. I think a hot toddy can also be whiskey. I make it with brandy or cognac.
I feel like the hot toddy has medicinal value that drinking a glass of literal hot butter and sugar does not have. But for Christmas, I don't know if that's a pro or a con that it has medicinal value.
Let me ask you something. When you're in 19th century London and you press your nose up against the window of the rich family, what are they drinking?
Yes.
With those fingerless gloves. It depends. If someone is sick streaking. In the family, if someone has a bit of a rasp to their voice, then they'll have a hot toddy. If they're like, hey, do you want to get drunk and also lube up our insides? And also, we are Paula Deen's family. Let's just drink butter and sugar. I don't know if the Deans are from Victorian England.
Why does that sound so good?
I don't know. I think I'm team hot toddy. What do you think?
I'm hot toddy. I think Hal's going to be the, let's, I mean, I'm curious what Hal, I don't think Hal drinks either of these.
No.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, I don't drink at all. So I've never had either of these. But now I'm thinking, what could I add to butter and sugar to make it drinkable? Because I eat butter and
flour
sugar.
Flour and eggs.
Yeah, flour and eggs. And then you drink the slurry? What am I, an animal? Please.
Yeah. Do you want to drink medicine or half of a cookie?
Well, I'd rather drink half of a cookie at any given time. Any given Sunday, I'll be drinking half of a cookie.
Oh, my God. Doesn't matter. It's still 2-1. This is the last time in this show that we will get to come at you like this.
All right. I accept it. I accept it. The hot toddy it is.
The hot toddy's the winner.
That's it. Don't put butter in your drinks. That's just a general rule that you can't do it now. Not for any of them. Even the ones I'm trying to think up in my head. But
you just put butter in everything? Just to diet. Yeah. You know what? I've got this beer here. I'm going to put some butter in that. It's going to be butter beer. Oh, look at that. Now I'm suddenly in the Potterverse.
I'm a genius.
Yeah.
I'm going to run through a railway station column while I drink it. This has been such a delight.
It absolutely has.
Padgett. Thank you for having me, you guys. This is really fun. This is just beautiful.
This.
And I miss seeing you in person and Furman and Autumn and everybody I don't get to see in person. And this is just really so nice.
Well, we'll get to see all of each other very soon, I'm sure. Yes. Things are looking up. There are silver linings behind all those clouds of 2020. Mm-hmm. But thank you for being a silver lining tonight in 2020 and an absolute bright shining light in both of our lives. And we really appreciate you coming and doing the show with us. This was a lot of fun.
And also, I want to thank Ben and Julie at House Seats Live who are absolutely making this go. Ken Plume, who makes the show go in general. And did a ton of work for this and is the reason he and Mark both made it look beautiful, did a bunch of graphic design work. I had nothing to do with that. And thank you to all of you who have come here and who have either bought a ticket to watch it live or bought one after the fact, because the proceeds from the show benefit Lyft, which is a national nonprofit organization that works to break the cycle of poverty for families. If you want to learn more about it and get involved at your community level, or you want to give more, see what they're up to, go to lyftcommunities.org.
Yes. And they're also on Twitter at Lyft Communities. If social media is more your game, check them out on Twitter, follow them there. And the money from tonight is going to go to help them out. So thank you all for everything you've done. And of course, we have to say thank you to Jonathan Dinerstein, the regular composer for our show. Of course, since I'm making sure we thank all the people that we always thank. Extra special thanks to Dinerstein tonight, though.
Sure. Graphic designer Uri Kelman, QA engineer Jen Alba, researcher Kate McManus. But before we get to our final topic, before that, Padgett, I think it's only fair to give you the Linus spotlight from A Charlie Brown Christmas. And if you have any messages for the holidays or anything you want to say or any decisions that you want to make right now, we're going to give you an open floor. Are there any decisions? Are there any warnings for the holidays? Like clean up after yourself. Don't make a turkey. We've already done those.
I did not know you were going to do this, and it's more
I didn't
fun.
Know either until now.
And oh, I don't have it. I know that this time next year, things are going to be better for all of us, even if things get worse before then. And I'm looking forward to next year. And I love you guys. And I love the people who join these podcasts and write in questions. And I miss everyone. And I think we all miss everyone, but I'm so hopeful for the future. And I'm just really happy to be here with you guys. And I hope everyone's safe and loving and caring and reaching out to the people they care about and being safe. That's what I hope.
Amen.
Beautiful. We love you.
Thank you, Padgett. Thanks for being here. And we love you and we appreciate you coming on the show. We do have one last topic to cover, and it is from Lori Preve. Padgett, she's gone. She's gone. Disappeared.
That's the Padgett spirit, the Christmas.
That's the Padgett
give
spirit.
Give her Christmas message and then disappear.
Give her Christmas message. And
that's right.
Christmas message and then disappear. We thank you. Oh, Padgett, you're back. Hi.
Wait, they took me off. Should I go off? I'm going to go off.
You can go.
Because I was,
you mean like,
I
you mean like
mauling.
Go off, or you mean like,
no,
go
I'm going away. You guys, close the show. I love you. Bye.
We love you.
Love you.
All right. There's one last thing to cover, and this is from Lori Prieve or Prieve. I don't know how you pronounce your name. I apologize. But Lori asks, what is the best version of the 12 days of Christmas?
Can I take a shot?
Got some favorites. I love the Rockettes version. I love the John Denver Muppets. And the Muppets did an amazing version. I don't know. Do
Mannheim
you have any
Steamroller?
Mannheim Steamrollers version,
but
of course.
I think, yeah, this is an easy one.
It is.
And I'm going to say ask and answered right now.
Great.
The best version of the 12 days of Christmas is this one.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens,
two turtle doves
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings,
French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the eighth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eight maids a-milking,
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the ninth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
nine ladies dancing,
eight maids a-milking,
seven swans a-swimming,
six geese a-laying,
five golden rings,
four calling birds,
three French hens,
two turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the tenth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
4 calling birds,
3 French hens,
2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me
11 pipers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings,
4 calling birds,
3 French hens,
2 turtle doves,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 drummers drumming,
11 pipers piping,
10 lords a-leaping,
9 ladies dancing,
8 maids a-milking,
7 swans a-swimming,
6 geese a-laying,
5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Happy holidays, everyone. I mean it.
So let's do it again.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I'm sorry, my family. I have to do it again. My mic was hot. One more time. Take two.
Here's wishing you a very happy holidays from all of us here at Week Office. Leave out some cookies. Snickerdoodles. No one leaves Snickerdoodles. Get some sleep, but after you leave the cookies out. Goodbye.
We got this!
Tights and Fights is the perfect wrestling podcast from Maximum Fun. And this week, we're speaking to Austin Creed, better known as WWE's Xavier Woods, to find out more about his favorite TV show growing up.
And I would watch Golden Girls. All of the things that I'm obsessed with in my life, all of them have that aspect of teamwork. So Golden Girls is four women, right, in the house. No. Their fifth person is their chemistry. That, to me, is the most important thing, because that's what we're all trying to find.
WWE and G4's Austin Creed on Tights and Fights. Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Janet Varney, host of the JV Club podcast. Ah, high school. Was it a time of adventure, romance, and discovery?
Class of 95! We did it!
Or a time of angst, disappointment, and confusion.
We're all tied together by 4 years of trauma at this place, but enjoy adulthood, I guess.
The truth is, it was both. So join me on the JV Club podcast, where I invite some great friends like Kristen Bell, Angela Kinsey, Oscar Nunez, Neil Patrick Harris, and Keegan Michael Key to talk about high school, the good, the bad, and everything in between.
My teenage mood swings are getting harder to manage.
The JV Club. Find it on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.